Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 345 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hi, Sarah.
It's the last episode of the year of 2021.
Well, that is an accomplishment.
I mean,
we did it. Here we are.
It's something. We don't really take breaks or hiatuses, if that is the plural of that word.
Hiati.
We're loopy, friends. Yes. It's the end of the year. It is the week between Christmas and New Year's, if you are listening to this when it comes out. And that is often kind of a cozy week, a reflective week. Maybe you're traveling and things are busy, but I know for me this year, it will likely be pretty low key. How about you this year, the week between Christmas and New Year's?
Well, I always find it almost a little a little jarring when Christmas falls on a weekend. Mm-hmm. Like somehow I feel cheated out of the weekend. And it's so silly. Like the length of the break is exactly the same no matter what. It's just that it's spaced out differently. But I almost kind of prefer it when the break happens and then you have like 3 days until Christmas and then you have this long extension on the other side. Or when it's closer to Christmas, but then you have a long extension after New Year's. And when it happens that it's like the weekends hold the holidays.
Yes.
I just feel like that week feels like it's like I'm trying to cram too much in or something. So I don't think it's going to be quite as cozy as I would like. I think we're having our extended family holiday get together again this year. We didn't have it last year, but we're animating. We're bringing that back, reviving that this year. And so that's going to happen. And that will be starting today. If you're listening to this today. So a couple cozy days and then a lot of family, kind of semi cozy family get together, but not like a typical day just hanging with your family. So how about you?
Yeah, we're around. We're not traveling. We decided to do a little staycation on the 30th and 31st at a local resort because we had some hotel points. So that will be fun. So we have some benchmarks in the calendar, but it is often a week where I like work a little bit. Brian works a little bit. We kind of trade off working. But how this episode topic came to mind is you and I are both in a stage of life now where let's say you are presented with a whole day or 2 or 3 days, a long weekend where there's not a whole lot on the schedule. You're not traveling. Maybe you don't have visitors. Could be in the winter, could be another time of year. That is what I would define as a nice at home weekend. And what's so funny is before I had kids, I loved a good at home weekend or even just a whole day to just be at home. And then children happen and it gets very different. And I'm sure those of you listening who have really little kids, if we say, oh, we have no plans on the calendar, just a cozy week at home, you're like, yeah, but there's still two, there's still 1 and 3.
Right.
And that just changes things so much. And then you get to where we are now, Megan, with older kids and teenagers, and it looks different again. So I think today we're going to look at this idea of what does it mean to have a leisurely family day at home? And we are framing this with family, not like if you had a whole day to yourself by yourself in your house, that would be different and glorious in its own way. But if the family's all hanging around and nobody's got soccer practice and nobody's got school and nobody's got work, what does that look like at different stages of life? And what are some of the challenges? And then what are some of the fun things that start to happen as your kids get a little bit older? So hopefully this finds you having a cozy week at home. Or if not, maybe, come February, President's Day weekend or something, you've got an at-home cozy weekend. And that's what we're talking about today. So yeah, we're going to take a quick break and we will dive in when we come back.
Sarah, everyone is thinking about New Year's resolutions right now, and I think one resolution we can all agree on is to not spend our days in uncomfortable shoes. Life is too short for sore feet, and plus, I want to be able to stay active and feel good doing it. So if you're with me on that, definitely check out our sponsor, Vionic.
Yes, every mom should have comfortable feet and stylish shoes, and Vionic makes it possible to have both with their line of boots, booties, sneakers, loafers and flats, sandals, and more. Every pair of Vionic shoes features a podiatrist-designed footbed that supports your heel, your arch, and the ball of your foot. And they're stylish, too, so you can look and feel great at the same time.
I am particularly loving Vionic's line of boots and booties right now. They have all kinds of styles represented, from chunky heels for work to hiker-style boots for hanging out on the weekends. And a lot of their boots are waterproof, too, which is a must in Michigan because our winters can be really slushy.
Listeners, if you're also resolving to have comfortable and stylish feet in 2022, you're going to want to check out this offer. When you shop at vionicshoes.com/themomhour and type in our promo code themomhour, you'll get free shipping through December 31st. Again, it's vionicshoes.com/themomhour and use promo code themomhour for free shipping. Okay, Megan, my kids are sugared up as all get out right now. And you know, that's just part of the holidays and it's part of childhood. I try not to beat myself up for the way my kids eat, but I do like to look for ways to make sure they're getting what they need nutritionally, even while they live their best kid lives. That's why I love our sponsor, Hiya. Hiya makes a daily chewable kids multivitamin that tastes great and doesn't contain a whole bunch of added sugar and gummy junk. My kids get enough of that stuff in their regular life.
Right? So this is really cool, Sarah. The two dads who founded Hiya spent 3 years working with pediatricians, nutritionists, scientists, and parents to formulate their superpowered chewable vitamins. They're made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and 15 essential vitamins and minerals. And they're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Today, we have a really good deal for our listeners, 50% off Hiya vitamins. Just go to HiyaHealth.com/momhour or enter the code momhour at checkout to save 50% off your first order. That's HiyaHealth.com/momhour or use the code momhour and you'll see the full discount applied at checkout. Okay, Megan. So briefly, I thought we should each describe how a at-home weekend looked for us before we had kids, especially if it were cozy. And I'll go first because, surprising no one, before I had children, an at-home weekend would have been very kind of productive and puttery, but productive in like a self-directed way where when I wanted to lie down and read a book or take a nap, I could do that too. So I get a lot of satisfaction out of being at home and doing projects at home and even cleaning, but only when they're done like according to my own timeline and my own energy patterns at my own pace and like maybe a good podcast on. Or I remember when we were early married, I would put on these terrible true crime like TV shows. Like, I don't know if it was like Dateline or they'd be on TV because I don't think they were recorded. And I would put those on in the background and then just putter around my house and organize and clean. And that was actually very cozy for me. Also before kids, there would have always been sports on TV. I mean, football and baseball, if you are a super fan, there are only like 2 months of the year,
right?
Basically from like February, the second week of February to like, that's it. No, it's only like a month.
I was going to say, I feel like it's even less than that. Yeah.
Cause we have spring training and spring training baseball was always on TV in Arizona. So really it was football or baseball 11 and a half months out of the year. And Brian and I would have been each kind of doing our own thing, like puttering around the house. Maybe we'd play a card game or play cribbage. We might like watch a bunch of episodes of something, maybe take a nap. So that was how it looked before kids for me. But you became a mom quite young, so I'm guessing it'll be different for you.
So, yeah, I was essentially a kid before I had kids. And it would have really looked like college life. It would have been like lying around watching a movie or reading or like maybe playing cards with my friends or whatever. I didn't have a lot of space. So I wasn't working on home projects yet. I was either living, you know, I think before I had Jacob for a brief period of time, lived in an apartment. But before that, it was like dorms and like roommate situations. So it wasn't like I had a lot of space of my own or even a place where I would do things. You know, like I wasn't decorating or cleaning floors.
A bedroom. Yeah.
Exactly. I wasn't yet at the stage of life where I was like sitting around drinking mimosas. I wasn't really in adulthood the way we think of adulthood now. But here's what I think is actually an interesting twist. Because I'm a divorced mom who has a boyfriend that I spend a lot of time with without kids, it's almost like now we have that life that I imagine other people who start their families later would have had in their 20s.
Right.
Because when we're hanging out like on a weekend or something and when neither one of us have our kids, it's a lot of like he's off doing his thing. Maybe he's out working in the yard and I'm like sitting on his couch, like reading or kind of working on my computer. Maybe there's like household projects we're working on. It's not my house, but I'll help with stuff if necessary. And then we'll kind of put a movie on and just have it on. And whether mm-hmm. I'm half the time, I'm not even paying attention to the movie. I'm like, you know, knitting or not knitting, embroidering or like reading yeah. or whatever. But it's like, there's just this, it's so quiet. Mm-hmm. And it yeah. reminds me of like what life pre-kids would have been like had I not been a kid when I had kids. So yeah, I'm getting it like later in life. It's kind of fun.
That's a great point. And to your point about drinking mimosas, I was 27 when I got pregnant, 25 when I got married. I was still fairly young, but I know we have listeners who didn't settle down like that in the traditional, like partner up, have kids until much later, late 30s even. So I'm thinking that those people are reflecting on pre-kid cozy weekends that looked even more different than mine. So it really does, the timing of when you had kids, I think probably is a big factor here.
And well, I will say there are a lot of mimosas in my Saturday afternoons now. So cozy film mimosas. Yeah.
I love it. Well, let's talk about the arrival of babies and small children to this cozy life. So I guess my questions are, when you did have babies and really little kids, would looking at the calendar and realizing there was like this upcoming cozy week at home, would that have even looked or felt much different than your normal mom life? First of all, and second of all, would you have looked forward to it or maybe dreaded it? And what are some of the changes that were kind of hardest for you when you tried to have a cozy at home time, but you had a couple babies?
Yeah. So I think, again, going in with very little expectation for what a cozy at home time might look like meant that some of those, I didn't have a chance to set expectations that weren't met. But when I really look back and think about it, especially when the oldest two were babies, you know, baby toddlers. And then when Will came along, like about 75% of my life was basically cozy days at home anyway. And there was a brief time in there that I was actually working outside of the home. And that was like such a night and day difference. It's hard to even like if you've ever, you know, worked outside of the home with little children, as you have, Sarah, and a lot of our listeners have, you know, that it is so different for better and for worse. Like there's something great about having to get moving and get dressed and get out the door in the morning. And then there's also something great about not having to do that. And so my life was basically the not having to do that, which meant that I was trying to like create structure around lack of structure. We didn't have a lot of plans. Like sometimes we'd have, you know, one class to go to, or I take the kids and go to the gym or something like that. But it was very free form, free floating. Even our, like, you know, there was nap time. That was like one kind of milestone during the day to kind of set the day around. And then like, I guess eating, I don't really remember there being a lot of other built-in structure. Yeah. And I have this funny memory of, like, when we're talking about literally cozy memories of living in this really cool apartment that was like the top half of this amazing old house, like a period, maybe 1890s, 1880s home. And we basically rode one February out with like the heat cranked all the way up because Isaac didn't like to wear clothes. So he was like in his diaper. Jacob would be like in his underwear. I'm walking around like in a nightshirt. So like not even in like the kind of nightshirt that just comes to like your thighs. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And then we got the heat bill and I was like, oh,
That was cozy.
Yeah, it was cozy and short-lived. But like, it was truly just kind of like cozy chaos in a way. And then even later when I was like freelancing, I could work whenever I wanted, the days, the hours, the weekdays, the weekends, they were just one big blur. And when I look back at that now, there's something in it so nostalgic to me. But also I have to remember how maddening and stifling it could be. It was like both. It was the best and the worst because there was something so great about just lying around basically with the kids. I'd have my laptop in my lap. I'd work when I could. I'd snuggle them. I'd be nursing someone half the time. Like it was just, it was so like home oriented and puttery all the time. But sometimes I wanted to just like climb the walls.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a lot of definition between when I was on duty, like either working actively or actively parenting, and then a break. So I had a really hard time switching on and off. And that's just like, that's such a common mom thing. No matter what, whether you're working all week and then you come home and feel like you have to work all weekend at the house because you didn't get a chance to do it during the week, or you're at home with the kids or working at home and there's no boundary, either way, I just think moms tend to take on the lion's share of that, like feeling on. So I don't know. What about you?
Well, yeah, we're going to that is definitely my experience. So we're going to get more into that for sure. But I, when I was thinking back, I was thinking, I think I did look forward to some kind of a long weekend or a vacation at home when I was in the little years, because my husband, my co-parent, worked a lot and traveled a lot during those little years. So even though I was, for a lot of that time, the primary at-home parent, I kind of structured our weekdays. You know, I might have had one kid in preschool and we would go do a play group or do this or that. And partly that was because I was, you know, by myself a lot. And that helped me to have that structure. So let's say we had a 3-day weekend coming up and no big plans. I think I would look forward to that as kind of a breaking up of a different kind of monotony, first of all, and having another adult in the house, which was a relief. The challenge, though, which is like the flip side of that same coin, was I was grateful to have my co-parent home with me. The challenge was, I think right away it became clear that my co-parent was better at finding his version of leisure and cozy home day with really little babies and toddlers around more naturally than I was able to. So I just have this memory. This is when we had like 1 1-year-old. He'd drag the high chair into the family room and put baseball on and put his feet up and just like kind of feed the baby snacks and talk to her. And he was perfectly happy. It was like he found a way to adapt cozy at-home time to having a 1-year-old. And I had a much harder time with that. And I think a part of it was, like you said, as a mom, I felt pressure to keep doing all those same puttery household things that I had done pre-kids. Only, first of all, there were more of them because we had a 1-year-old. And at that time, I was actually working outside the home. So weekends were kind of precious. And it was no longer on my own time frame. Like, what made that feel cozy and puttery pre-kids was that I could sit down and read a book or take a nap if I wanted. I could put on like a terrible crime TV show if I wanted. And once kids are at home, it's they need to eat. They need to take a nap. They need their diaper changed. And so the same activities, the same puttery home project activities, felt less cozy and less fulfilling. So yeah, it's not like a criticism of my co-parent necessarily, but I felt like I had to identify or ask for like downtime, like, oh boy, I'm really tired, I need to take a nap, and then ask for permission. Whereas he just took it. He just took his time and made it cozy and leisurely. And that is not a criticism. It's actually like he was better at that than I was.
Well, it's like we've talked about multiple times on this show where I had the epiphany at one point, and it took me a really long time. Like, I think I had 5 kids by this point, where when my now ex-husband wanted to go to the store, he just went to the store.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't ask me permission. He didn't say, hey, can we set up the date? Like, and I would feel like I'd get up in the morning on a Saturday and be like, okay, so around 10, I'd like to go to the grocery store. And if it's okay, I'd like to get together with a friend for a cup of tea or something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he would just go. It's maddening to us as moms because we don't get it. But also there's something to learn there. Like, we can also just take it, right? Like, we don't feel like we're allowed, but we are allowed. We're adults.
Yes,
we're the deciders. Yeah,
we are. And I think the reason I think it's interesting to start with what felt like leisure or cozy to us before kids is that even among the moms listening, there are probably some people whose idea of cozy translated better to having small children than others. And some of us are more wired to want to be by ourselves. Some of us are, but I'm thinking of there are probably those who walking and baking felt really good before having kids. And you might be able to find a way to work those things in, or being outside. Like, I know a lot of families who just incorporated their babies and toddlers into being out in the yard and working in the garden. And I'm not saying it's easy or that it's the same, but my particular cozy pursuits were not toddler friendly, put it that way.
So. Yes. And that's like lying around watching the game, shoving snacks into your kid's mouth is very different from using your hands to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like sewing.
Yeah.
Or like art, you know, like there are things that people find leisurely that are truly something family friendly, and other things that are leisurely that aren't. And they're they're both valuable things and important things, but just one is easier to adapt.
Yeah, agreed. All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going roughly chronologically here. So we're going to talk about when kids get old enough to start to be a part of a cozy day at home, meaning you're not just like you're not putting Cheerios on the high chair tray in front of the baseball game anymore, but they are actually becoming part of this phase that we're all in now, you and me, and that we have been in, which is kind of enjoying downtime with our kids. So we will dive into that when we get back. Megan, it feels like a great time to talk about our sponsor, Safer Kids Online. Safer Kids Online is an initiative created for parents by parents from the internet security company ESET. ESET developed the Safer Kids Online website specifically to help parents and kids learn how to protect themselves in the digital world, which is really important this time of year when a lot of kids are setting up new devices they got as gifts or, you know, maybe killing time over break with new apps and games.
Yeah, I feel like this is always the most stressful time of year for parents when it comes to digital safety. We want our kids to have healthy boundaries around their tech use, but it's not always easy to know what kind of limits to set and how to enforce them, especially when they've maybe just made a big leap in what they're able to access by getting a new device or game or app as a gift. Safer Kids Online has a great article up on their website right now about helping kids set those healthy boundaries and how really a lot of the limits you set starting in the preschool years can actually help much later when they're becoming more independent.
Megan, I know this is something I've struggled with as my kids have had more and more access to tech. And there are so many great articles on the Safer Kids Online site that deal with everything from social media to gaming safety and even helping kids spot phishing scams. If you want to check out all of the resources ESET has created for parents, visit saferkidsonline.eset.com for expert internet safety advice. That's saferkidsonline.eset.com. We are welcoming back Beta Brand as a sponsor today. And Megan, I just ordered another pair of these amazing pants. They look like dress pants, so great for the office or date night, but they feel like yoga pants, which, let's be honest, we've all gotten pretty used to wearing for the last couple of years. The dress pant yoga pants from Beta Brand are made of wrinkle-resistant stretch knit fabric, so they look good all day long, and they are so comfortable.
Yes, I was a big fan of Beta Brand even before we had them on as a sponsor. And now I'm just having fun adding to my collection. There are so many silhouettes to choose from in the dress pant yoga pants. They've got wide leg and straight leg and skinny cut, and they even have denim, tops, and dresses too. I just ordered a new pair of the straight cut classic dress pant yoga pant in a charcoal gray, and I'm really excited.
Megan, did we mention these pants also have pockets and are machine washable? I mean, come on. And right now, our listeners can get 30% off their Beta Brand order at betabrand.com/themomhour. That's BETABRAND.com/themomhour for 30% off your order for a limited time. And when you use that special URL, you're supporting our show, too. Discover what it's like to be comfortable and confident all the time. Go to betabrand.com/themomhour for 30% off. Okay, so Megan, let's talk about, I'm going to say like, the preschool or even the elementary school age, which was a real shift for our family in having cozy days at home, because I think we started to be able to find ways to hang out with our kids at home, and our kids started to find ways to hang out with each other. So there was just, it was a lot less of like, who's got the baby? And more Oh, we're all home and everybody's kind of got something they're puttering and they're doing. So I want to dig into this stage of life. I think a lot of our listeners are in this stage. And a couple of questions. So when you look back at that stage and maybe your kids were like 10 to 1 or whatever, because you have so many of them, what are some memories you have of cozy days at home with mostly school-aged kids? And then what are the actual activities that worked well for your family during that stage?
So it's interesting because I have like two different ways to answer that question. One is like specific memories, and those are a little fewer and further between because it's almost like, again, that amalgam memory mm-hmm. of like what that was like, the feel, the sense memory. Yes. And my sense memory of that time was that was like mom prime time for me. I just loved life with mm-hmm. older, like slightly older kids or some slightly older kids and, you know, still toddlers and babies at home, but like, that feeling of like participants, not just like you said, take the baby or keep the baby out of the Drano or whatever, but like, you know, actually involving family members in different ways. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of baking, and I'm talking simple baking. We were not doing, you know, like really hard stuff. I'm talking like making chocolate chip cookies or cutting out you know, circle mm-hmm. canvases for the kids to decorate. That just felt so momish. It felt so cozy and nurturing to me. Like, it was such a good memory. I made a lot of Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of setting my kids up for craft projects. Like, they were constantly at the table that we had set up for that kind of stuff. And I would just get out the stuff and hand them, like, the glue sticks and the, like, hand them, like, three or four things. And then I let them do the craft. I didn't want to do the craft projects. I let them right. do that themselves. I wanted no part of that. So I almost felt like my job was to be creating this, like, cozy maker space, where it was like a creative environment, like a little Montessori classroom, and everybody yeah. could just kind of go around and choose what they wanted to work on. And I don't remember it being very loud and chaotic. It felt really good. And another part of that for me was making it feel cozy and homey. So I wanted it to smell good. I wanted the music to be good music. I was like tidying and puttering. I remember doing this thing. I did this for years, actually, where I would boil apple peels and cinnamon sticks like mm-hmm. on the stovetop just to make the house smell good. Love and it. I don't even remember like where I picked that up, but it would just like peel apple, you know, kids don't like apple peels always. So I'd peel the apple peels off, throw them in a pot with a little bit of water and a cinnamon stick. And the house just smelled amazing. And I would do that from like September, you know, up to the holidays. It was like that, like the sense of place that I was trying to create. And that was what was like, that was the overall feeling. And then what we were actually doing was just kind of all doing our own things and then coming together to, you know, maybe play a board game or watch a movie together or whatever. It's hard to even remember exactly what was happening. It's more that what I remember is the feeling of it.
I love it so much. And you did such a good job of describing that feeling that I loved hearing that. So for me, when I look back at this stage, the very first thing that came to mind that clicked into place was siblings starting to play with each other. So even as young as like 4 and 2, but definitely by like 5 and 3 or 6 and 4, my older two were really good at playing together. They really always were. And it just felt like it opened up the ability for a day at home with the family. And I'm imagining Brian home too. And, you know, neither of us working. It just opened up the possibilities for a day like that. Because if siblings don't play together, you've now got two kids to keep occupied, two kids to keep happy. And then when they're keeping each other happy, it's, you know, a lot of options open up. So they would just play and play and play. And my memories, my sort of like amalgam memories involve a lot of forts and a lot of messes, because when my kids play together, there would be big, big messes. So my memories are less of like a cozy craft table and more of like an entire room taken over by cushions and stuffed animals or like some kind of cross platform, like make believe where there was like Legos, but there were also stuffed animals and trains. And so like
Polly Pockets, perhaps, yes, or something like that. Like
every calico critters, everyone was invited. But this just extended make believe between the two of them. And then to, you know, the through line is that there would definitely be football or baseball on and house puttering. So it's almost like we got back to that ability to house putter, only with big messes and kids playing in the background. I remember I because I do love to putter and organize, sometimes I'd find an organizing project that had almost like side benefits to little kids. So I might decide to go through the art cupboard and like get rid of all the crayons that were broken or whatever. And all of a sudden they'd discover some art supplies they hadn't seen in a while. And then that would lead to a project. Or I might go through board games and puzzles and they'd forget about one that we had. So it's almost like I'm remembering almost like taking apart our house from the inside out, but not with this like, okay, we've got to get all these closets organized. It happened much more in a much more satisfying and kind of organic way. And the kids were there and they were kind of, they would come into our sphere and they would go out into their own sphere. And then we'd clean up their mess and then we might find something to do. If we were home all day, we might have like made a little happy hour at like 4 o'clock and had a little grown-up beverage and a kid beverage. We always put a movie on for them at 5 o'clock because we generally didn't have them watching a bunch of screens during the day. So then it was like 5 o'clock was like a movie for them and figure out dinner for us. So yeah, I have very cozy memories of those kind of at-home days too. And then just the activities that we went to again and again would have been things like puzzles, an audiobook combined with coloring. Like those two things, my kids still do that. Play-Doh, Lego, Magnetiles. Just, you know, the building stuff, the stuff that would get pulled out and then put away and pulled out and then put away. So those are happy memories for me too.
Well, and I love that you're talking about this the organizing projects, because I feel like life with like young, not babes in arms, but like young, independently mobile children and up really lends itself to those things, because you have to be around them. You can't just, it's not like now where you can kind of just hide out in your room or whatever. Right. And they won't even probably miss you for a while. It's like you have to be present and around them, but you still need something to do. Mm-hmm. And it's nice when it's something that benefits the family. So that's when my pantry was always really organized during that time. I remember just like taking things apart and putting them back together to make them work better, because what else was I going to do? Like with my hands, I had to do something with my hands, and like I had to be around them. So that was always very fun and kind of cozy too.
That's a great point. And the other thing that occurs to me is when you're in that stage of life, your kids go through phases much more quickly and you add new babies to the family. So didn't it feel like there was always like, it's like, oh gosh, we don't need the Duplos out anymore. We need the Legos. Like somebody was always going through some like home organizational change, like phase, whereas that happens less now that my kids are older. So it was nice. You're right. It was like a perfect integration of my desire to putter, but to also be accessible and near to and sort of nurturing to my kids.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of the challenges of this same age range. So when you have a bunch of kids of mixed ages in the house, it's not all baking projects and craft projects and closet reorganization. There are some challenges too. And I can go first on this. And the challenge that I remember most is the third child who came along.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think my third child was particularly a home wrecker. We literally called her a home wrecker because she'd get mad and wreck stuff on purpose until she was, I don't know, seven.
Till last month.
Yeah, really, seriously. but for real, if you continue to have children, if you have more than say a couple of closely spaced kids, there's going to be a baby or a toddler who almost sets you back to what I first described when I was talking about like, oh, like I want to be productive or I want to read a book, but there's like this 1-year-old. So you may find yourself with older kids who play nicely together, but then there's a little caboose. And that was my situation. And that was challenging at times. Another challenge, I think, even as Violet got a little older and she was able to play in the sibling trio, a challenge for us was that the kids got to this middle place where they didn't need as much supervision. They'd occasionally need help sorting out an argument, or they'd get hungry. But really, they'd play for like an hour or an hour and a half just on their own. And then Brian and I would get very happily into our own leisure, our own cozy time. And there was a little bit of this like, whose turn is it? Or like, I did it. I'm not on duty. Like, it's your turn. And a little bit of that thing that I think co-parents do where it's like, well, I've had them all week and you've been at work. Well, I've been at work all week and I want to watch the baseball game. Like I'm being purposely cartoonish about it.
No,
a real thing. And it's so funny because when the kids are higher needs, you don't have time to debate that. Like somebody needs you all the time. It's all hands on deck. It's zone defense, all the jokes about like man-to-man coverage. But as the kids got more independent, it's almost like we got more protective of our leisure time. And then it's like, oh, now someone's crying. What happened? Who's going to go check it out? And I think there was a little bit of tension there. We'd had just a taste of having some of that time back to ourselves. So then it was like, oh,
yeah, you weren't just triaging anymore. And it wasn't, everything wasn't urgent.
Right.
It's kind of like, well, whose turn? Like, does anyone have to deal with it? Or who's it going to be? I totally remember that, like, looking back and forth, like that stony silence where like neither person will even twitch a muscle because they don't want to look like they're going to be the one who actually responds. You know what I mean? Right. But then you're waiting for the other person to get up and jump up and do it. And and that can be like tension, and that can also create some resentment, honestly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. So how about you? What were the challenges of that phase?
Well, I would say until my kids were old enough to be more independent, like where I could leave, I can very much switch on a dime from feeling extremely happy and homey and inside my four walls to feeling like I want to climb those walls, like that itchy, like I'm crawling out of my skin, I got to get out of here feeling. And, you know, when kids are really young, there's no way to scratch that itch without work or planning. Like, you got to get a babysitter or line up your spouse to take over, or you got to like bundle the kids all up and take them somewhere, yeah, right? Like with you. And that was not necessarily the vibe I was going for. I wanted it to feel cozy home for everybody else. I just wanted to be able to leave, you know,
yes,
and come back. I wanted to come back. I didn't want to be gone forever, but I wanted part of that experience to be opting in and out. Mm-hmm. And that's not a reality when you have small children, especially when like there's like, even when some of them are older, but the little ones are little enough, you can't just go. It did get so much better as they got older because, you know, by the time like Clara was like three, I could just be like, hey guys, I'm running out to the store. But there were many, many years in early motherhood that I just kind of forgot that was a thing. So I would find myself in this situation where it's like so cozy and we're all, you know, just like in the bosom of family. And then I'm like, what? I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
like
I'm
right
done.
Now. I got to go. I'm done. I got to go. And there's no way to go. And then that can take it from feeling homey and lovely to feeling like a prison, like mm-hmm. very quickly for me. And so that's the negative. That's the shadow side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the positive homey memories.
Yeah. I think that's really important to acknowledge. So I'm laughing a little bit because we have mostly talked about this stage of life as getting back to our own definition of a cozy day at home and a little bit of leisure time. I'm curious if true family togetherness leisure was much of a thing for you guys. And I'm thinking of things like you mentioned baking together, but with crafting, you said it was sort of like you set it up for them. I'm thinking of things like board games or maybe group video games or maybe the whole family. I don't know. What else does one do? Play charades?
Yeah.
I'm curious. Or a movie, like a movie altogether.
Yeah, a movie for sure. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So was that, do you have memories of that true togetherness, cozy time mm-hmm. as well?
I think that the memories I have around the actual togetherness would be like, yes, watching movies. Did a lot of that when the kids were little. Board games to some extent, although I always found that our family was fractured in who wanted to play the board games, or we did a whole episodes yeah. about board games, yeah. which board games I actually wanted to play with my kids at the age ranges they were at the time. So that was a little sticky.
We've talked about rage quitters.
Rage quitters, yes. Or like games that are kind of above one kid's level, but like, you know, another yeah. kid learns how to exploit their younger siblings, like all of that. But yeah, board games were definitely part of it. I always found like midday walks. I mean, it's leaving your house. It's technically not like homey, cozy, but that always felt like if you had a day so leisurely that at any point you could just stroll around the block, that always felt very leisurely to me, or go out in the yard and toss a ball around, like things like that, that were completely unstructured. And I sometimes can have a hard time with those things because I feel like I get antsy. Like I'm like, okay, well, how much time am I going to spend, you know, tossing this ball back and forth? How much time am I going to spend running after the bicycle in the driveway, whatever it is. I sometimes can get a little antsy, but those days where it truly felt like there was nothing else to do, I felt like we could pack a lot of that in. So
yeah,
one good Saturday, you know, could do a lot about making me feel like the rest of the week I could be a little more outwardly focused. So yeah.
I would say the same. And I would just remind everybody that you already spend probably quite a bit of time with your children and as a family. So car rides count and meals count. So I actually don't think there's any problem with the fact that our idea of a cozy weekend at home with the family doesn't mean we're doing something together the entire time. I just thought it was interesting that both of us didn't really talk about that as much.
Right.
Board games were hard for us. That was a hard one. Puzzles work well. I would say that pairings of two or three family members going off to do things together seem to work well. An all five activity is likely probably eating a meal together.
Or snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember doing a lot of snacking. Yeah.
Yeah. Or watching a show together. That would work well. And I know we're going to talk next about now that kids are really getting older. But I guess I just wanted to bring it up because I think sometimes we have this romantic idea of we've got this week between Christmas and New Year's and nobody's got any plans and we're going to have so much family togetherness time. And just a reminder that family togetherness can also look like different family members pursuing rest and leisure in a way that suits them. And that actually is one of my favorite ways to be with people, is to like know that everybody's kind of doing what makes them feel good. Somebody's reading, somebody's doing a puzzle, somebody's playing a video game, but we're all sharing space together. So maybe just like lightening the pressure on all family activities. There's just not as many that suit most families of mixed ages.
Yeah. And some of my very favorite memories of things like one kid at one end of the couch and me at the other end of the couch sharing a blanket and then both reading, or even maybe like a kid on a, you know, Game Boy or something. And just like we're cozy together, but we're not doing the same thing. I was just thinking the other day, I was watching one of those ridiculous holiday movies with the ones where like multiple generations get together in like a lodge or, you know, like a vacation home or something.
Okay.
And I can't remember which one this was, but they're all the same. Mm-hmm. There's like, they either have Diane Keaton or the other actresses that look like Diane Keaton in them. And this one had Steve Carell. Anyway, it doesn't matter. There's all these families together in this house, and every scene they're doing something like putting on a full staged production where they're like in costumes, like grandma, grandpa, grandkids, uncles, aunts. And they're like putting on they're putting on a talent show, or like they're playing charades, or they're doing some, you know, they're doing the New York Times crosswords together, but like as a contest. And I'm watching it thinking, who are these people? Yeah. These people don't really exist, do they? Is this really a thing? So if that's your family, not to make light of your family, then that means you are the family that movies are written about. And like, honestly, good for you. Like, I think that's amazing, because there is always that part of me that's like, oh, I wish I had that. But I just think most of us aren't that family. And that's okay, too. Like, there's something very nice about everyone being together doing their own thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I actually find it very cozy when that I think as a mom, I've logged a lot of years getting to the place where kids can be pursuing their own interests nearby me in a cozy fashion. So I fully enjoy it myself. So, well, that brings us to the last question, which really is about what cozy days at home look like now. And if we have brand new listeners, my kids are almost 9 through 13. And yours are almost 13 through young adults. So we have a lot of, you know, older tweens and teens and young adults. So what does a cozy day at home feel and look like now for you?
So here's the difference. I think it used to feel a lot like when my kids were small, it used to feel a lot more about me going to where they were. So for example, for a long time, all of our toys were basically in the living room. Like all the shared toys, like the kids had some in their bedroom. So most of the stuff, like the bigger stuff that they play with, was in the living room. So I'd be in the living room. I'd camp out there with my computer or my book that I was working on or laundry. And let's be honest, I watched a lot of children's programming back then because it was on and I would just watch it with them. So I knew like all those shows, like I was very familiar. It was a lot of me watching Yo Gabba Gabba and snuggling with my kids. But now I tend to be in my space, the space I choose, which is usually either my bedroom or the kitchen, or often the kitchen during the prime family time, like during the time they're coming and going. But my bedroom, like on the weekends in the morning, I'm more likely to be in my bedroom. And then the kids kind of come in and out. And it actually made me think like, wow, I don't even go in my living room that much anymore, unless we're going to, in a very organized and planned fashion, watch a movie together. That's not where I watch TV. I bought a sofa just to create more of a family space, and I've created it for them. They love it, but I don't use it that much. Just the way our house is laid out, the way I tend to spend my time and where I gravitate, there's just a lot of this, like I'm a room away and I can hear them and even yell to them. And then they're kind of coming in and out. And there's just a lot of coming and going for everybody. So a lot of, hey, mom, I'm running out for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, or me, hey, kids, I'm running out. I'll be right back. Like there's a lot of that. And it's just a different kind of cozy. It's still very cozy actually, but it's more like having roommates that I'm still responsible for. It's very different. Yeah.
That you need to keep alive.
They orbit around me. So I'm like the, you know, the planet, I guess. And they're my moons. Is that the right? Yeah. I'm not sure that that's the right astronomical
reference.
Yeah. Thank you. But it's something like that. That's what it feels like.
I think, didn't you tell me recently about a night where you all ended up standing around the island? So is it food that when they do come, when everybody's orbits do intersect, now we're really off with this metaphor, but does it tend to be around food or meals? Just curious.
No, actually, food is part of it. I mean, at some point of the evening, we all do gravitate either to the dining room, but more often the kitchen island and eat. But it actually tends to be more Like one kid just got home and my kids do this thing where they literally walk around, like they pace around the island. Mm-hmm. They're all pacers and they just will start pacing. And so one will come home and another one will hear that the brother is home and then he'll come into the room. Aww. And at one point when they were all, you know, now I've only got three as opposed to five under my roof, but they would all start to circle around. Uh-huh. And I would just sit there like I was in a washing machine. Like that's what it felt like. I was in the spin cycle. And I would just sit there and be like, what is even going on right now? And they're all just walking. They're all talking to each other, at each other. I'm sort of involved. Like I might interject something, but mostly I'm just secondary. I'm just there. Like I'm holding the space, as they say. I really do feel like I'm the space holder. I'm not always crucial to every scene. And that's fine with me. Like I want them to have strong sibling relationships. I don't need to be the center of you know, every time they all want to get together. And sometimes I just excuse myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm no longer needed here. Bye-bye. It's not, food helps, especially snacks, like snacky foods help. If you really want to get everyone, like older kids together, you know, make some nachos or something. Right. But there's also each other that draws them to that space. And I'm just there.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I am quite a few years, not quite there yet. So even though we both have older kids, we're not in the same stage because in my house, I would say that, so Violet's not quite nine. She would still like a playmate. We've talked about how she's very social. And with three, there was an older pairing and then there was the Reed and Violet pairing, which has been awesome the last couple of years. But, you know, he's leveling up too, as one does. So I would say there's, on a leisurely at-home day, there is still parental guidance needed in like finding what is the activity and what is the pairing of people that will make this feel like a cozy day. And Violet's just high needs makes it sound bad, but she's not the easiest person to have a cozy at home day with, to be totally honest, because she really thrives on being entertained or entertaining other people. So she's less likely, she's just not a kid who will pick up a book and chill. I do have kids like that, but she is not one of them. So we're still in a phase where, like, if we are faced with an entire weekend at home, in my mom mind, I'm still thinking, like, oh boy, okay, like, what's the structure needed, or what are the activities that would be fun, and how can I make sure that this is actually cozy and not torture? Another challenge for us, I think I mentioned this in maybe a pandemic related episode about teenagers, but I have really realized that a bored teenager is very different than a bored like 6-year-old or 8-year-old who you can say like, go get a cardboard box and build me a spaceship. Like, you know, where like boredom is an opportunity to get creative for a kid like Violet. It's still challenging, but it's an opportunity. Whereas I've really seen kind of the darker side of a bored teenager who like doesn't really have enough going on socially. And that's a different topic, but it is a very much a pandemic related issue, I think. And so I would not say that a cozy, lazy at home weekend for the Powers family right now is not without its challenges. But the flip side, the good news is, like, going back to things like board games and movies and stuff like that, we really, there's quite a bit that all five of us enjoy doing together right now. And that is really fun. Like, we play Boggle, we will do a puzzle. We really enjoy a lot of the same like shows and media. So we'll watch something together. I spent so much of my motherhood being really controlling about personal screen time, like things like playing a video game on an iPad or whatever. I was really pretty limiting of that. But what's cool about older kids is I am fine. My kids think like, oh, mom, you're okay with screen time? I'm like, yeah, if we're watching a movie together, that's very different in my mind than you watching YouTube for 100 hours by yourself on a teeny device when you're like hunched over, like they look like they're going to disappear into the couch. It's like two very different types of screen time, in my opinion. So that's been, I would say, the fun part is, I think, especially with COVID, like we had a lot of time with the five of us and there really are things we can find to do together that everybody enjoys, but it's not totally free and easy either.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you're still sort of in that middle place, right? Yeah. It's like you've got the gravy years parenting and also like coming into the teen years, which is a little, it's like gravy, but in a different way. And yeah, it's like an awkward transition because you've got some kids who are almost there, like independent, and like some that are still little, little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this was actually really fun. And I'm hopeful that when it airs, we will both be having cozy weeks.
Cozy times.
With our families. Yeah. So
I think that the day this airs, it'll probably be my coziest day, actually, because it's like the day before I'll have my kids back from their dads, but like it will be right before the family.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know how to say infiltration starts. Yeah. So cozy day that I'm having today.
Today, peak cozy. Well, I was going to ask you before we wrap if you have any plans for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
Well, yeah, this year, because we have like the family coming in from out of town, we're going back to our old big Francis family New Year's Eve get together, which is always fun and very big and a lot of people. So, yep. And then New Year's Day is typically lying around watching like a movie or two with them. And just, I think this year, because it falls on a Saturday, New Year's Day, people will be getting on the road that day. It'll be a little bit different than usual. Mm-hmm. Usually we'd have like a whole nother day, but I think it'll be more like just let's have a day of just relaxation and stuff before we kind of have to get back to getting ready for school. How about you?
I think I mentioned it now. I can't even remember if it was this episode or last week, but we decided to do a 2-night staycation at a local resort with some hotel points, all 5 of us. So we will be together as a nuclear family of 5, but no extended family. And we will be at a resort. So that'll feel nice. It hasn't been a holiday season of travel for us, which I'm glad about. I'm very glad. But it is kind of nice to end the year somewhere else. Like I will wake up New Year's Day, like in a hotel, and there'll be a nice pool.
That's cool. It's like a fresh. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the new year, I wanted to mention a couple fun things coming up. So a week from today, the first Tuesday of 2022, we have an episode about cleaning products, as one does, you know, start the year getting
clean
everything.
Clean it up, guys.
Yeah, clean it up. No, but that's always a topic that's really fun to talk about. It's really fun to hear what other people like to clean their house with and maybe discover some new products. So we've got our contributors helping with that. And you and I will hop on Tuesday to talk about our favorite cleaning products. And then next Friday, the first Friday of 2022, I am doing a voices interview with not one, not two, but 3 special guests. And I'm not even going to tell you all who they are, but that you already know and love them. So it will be planning and goal setting and New Year's Eve related with some of your favorite people who are as nerdy about that stuff as I am.
Gosh.
And I'm not even going to say more. So, you know, get excited.
What a tease. I love it. I love it. Okay. Well, I'm excited about that one because it's definitely the time of year that if you haven't started thinking about planning yet, you're probably going to be there really soon. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, happy new year, everyone. Let's close out 2021. Megan, this was fun. It was a great year and we will talk to everybody next year.
Talk to you in the new year.